And this evening at 7, there's a gathering at Keeper's Cottage. In 45 minutes here on Radio 4, Jay Rayner hosts the Kitchen Cabinet from Stonehenge. Now, though, Brian Cox and Siobhan Redmond star in the Victorian detective drama MacLevy by David Ashton. In episode 2, The Seventh Veil, the rumour mill in Leith goes into overdrive when Jean Brash hires an exotic dancer to entertain her clients.
À votre santé, monsieur.
As the French would have it.
You've changed.
Well, time passes. I left Edinburgh when I was 13 years. I return in full bloom.
I can still see your mother in you.
A good woman. A bad end.
Such may be rectified.
Well, that is the intention.
When I received your letter, I was surprised, and then excited as hell.
Excited?
Life has been dull of late.
Well, we'll do our best to keep you on your toes.
Logan Hamilton, who would have thought, eh?
When I first conceived this little stratagem, there was one person I thought to involve. Jean Brash.
At your service, sir.
It will be dangerous.
I like danger. I've been too good too long. One warning, James MacLevy,
the thief-taker,
is a terrible nosy man. And what we intend is against the law.
And I shall treat the inspector with the utmost consideration. Tomorrow, then.
Already set the rumours going. One man. I wish I could be there to see his face. Murray Craddock wants to make Leith a haven of purity.
This may set him back somewhat.
We'll watch the feathers fly.
Retribution. Elegant, yet savage.
No mercy.
Gout is supposed to be a patrician malady. Rich folk get it because they stuff their faces night and day. So how come I have accrued the affliction? My doctor, Abraham Snoddy, has forbidden blood sausage, hookers of whiskey, red meat, even salted herring, for God's sake. He had further the cheek to suggest leeches. I'm no letting some repulsive wormy crater suck at my blood. I have Chief Constable Craddock for that. Cut back the sugar as well, but not coffee. I draw the line at coffee. If I now took the pulse of my city, I feel I would find it fluttering at the prospect of some chaotic event. I sense it out there, an emptiness waiting to be filled. As regards Jean Brash, she and I are no longer boon companions because, in the course of an investigation, I accidentally caused her harm. Now she lies low in her bodyhouse, the just land, and hugs remonstrance to her bosom like a nursing pap bairn. I am left to sook at this tarry coffee, minus the quality and requisite sugar lumps. Deprivation. Body and soul. I'll wait until I get better. Then I can get worse again. Human nature, eh? And human nature is my stock in trade.
Constable, have you heard the rumour?
Well, not a great believer in such, sir.
My wife's sewing circle, Mulholland.
Then it must be true.
Céline Dubois. You know the name.
Is she not some kind of dancer?
Exotic. Corrupt. From France, of course.
Well, have to be.
Displayed a body all over Europe and the New World, and now she is coming to Edinburgh.
Am I missing something here?
The lieutenant just telling there's an exotic dancer on the loose.
Céline Dubois.
Oh, right enough.
Immorality personified. She uses feathers.
You seem to know a lot about her, sir.
Snippets, just snippets.
Well, as long as the woman doesn't give some old gadgy in the audience a heart attack. She's home and dry.
Lieutenant Roach! Have you heard the news? sinful pestilence.
Indeed I have, sir.
If this woman intends to bear her flesh in Edinburgh...
Surely the East Wind will take care of that.
Cut you in two.
Filth and corruption.
We can apply public indecency, sir.
Not if it's a private showing in Leith.
Well, that's not possible.
Oh, yes it is.
A name come in your head?
Only the one.
Your friend, McLeavy. Jean Brash.
We're no all that friendly.
At an establishment that seems to be above the law. The Just Land.
Deary me.
If I understand you accurately, Mistress Brash, you have need of money.
That is correct.
How lucky that I loan it out.
At very high rates, Mr. Buckler.
A man must live. How much?
£1,000.
Quite a sum.
It won't be for long.
That's what they all say. I had always considered you well provided.
I have made certain unwise investments.
And you wish to recoup your losses?
A performance in the Just Land. The tickets will be premium.
Who performs?
A woman.
What does she do?
Reveals herself. I need money to set it all up and pay the performer.
What might be her name?
Céline Dubois.
Interesting.
You can buy a ticket if you like.
If I remember rightly, you banned me from your establishment.
You hurt one of my girls.
She insulted me. What surety do you offer?
You mean you don't trust me?
I trust no one, but I loan to all. The rich I squeeze, the poor I crush. What surety?
All I can offer is the Just Land.
You must indeed be desperate.
I can sell 100 tickets at £50.
A large sum.
They'll pay. I know my audience.
Very well. I'll have the contract drawn up.
Rates of interest?
For such a short term, they will be high.
I am in your hands.
We shall talk soon, Mistress Brash.
As I said, Mr. Buckler, I am in your hands.
What a fine prospect.
Gentlemen, may I present Miss Louisa Jones, Mademoiselle Dubois' constant companion who often speaks on behalf of the artiste.
If you
please, Miss Jones.
Thank you. A brief message from Mademoiselle. I comprehend that Edinburgh is a beautiful city and look forward to its delights. Meantime, I would appreciate if my privacy is not upset, as I am a little bit fatigued after my great success in New York. Best sentiments, Céline Dubois.
Cammy Fraser, Leith Herald. Does that mean we're not going to see her?
For the moment, her wishes must be obeyed.
Is she going to dance here?
A new piece is being created.
Does it have a name?
I believe it may be called The Seventh Veil.
Like Salome!
More than that is beyond my ken.
Mademoiselle Dubois works in great secrecy.
Now, if you please, gentlemen, a long journey, some rest must beckon. Thank you. Well, that was quite civilized.
Compared to New York.
I could be a guide.
What?
For Miss Dubois. Take around old Ricky. I know all the nooks and crannies.
Céline is kind of temperamental.
About who accompanies her and where?
Temperamental? My pouty's like that.
Pouty?
Sweetheart.
She throws things at me.
So would Céline.
I might suggest it's better you stick to your chosen profession, Mr. Fraser.
I'm no giving up. Remember Robert the Bruce. Try and try again.
Did that not involve a spider?
If Mademoiselle saw a spider, she would squash it with the heel of her boot.
What a monster we both serve.
He sent for me, Mr. Buckler.
Have you received payment from John Craigie?
Not a penny.
The loan is overdue.
His wife is with child.
If no payment by tomorrow, you will evict the whole family, unborn or otherwise.
Will you be in attendance, sir?
There are so few pleasures in life, Jed. What do you think to Jean Brash?
Wouldn't he trust a woman?
She may be enthralled to me for £1,000.
How come?
Bad investments. He tends to replenish her capital by a performance at the Just Land. But I was thinking, what if there were a fire of sorts that very night?
A fire?
The outbuildings, say. Stables, up in flames, panic. Audience runs for its life. Show cancelled. She loses everything.
That would be hard.
I never forget an insult.
Does she have surety for this loan?
A good question, Jed Gilmore. The Just Land itself.
That's worth a fortune.
Good business, wouldn't you say?
Mr. Hamilton, welcome.
You're in full flow, Mistress Brash.
Well, I've not been idle. No, Angus, take Theobald down into the cellar.
Theobald?
It's the stuffed bear. For some reason, it gingers up her clients. Watch the poor beast's head, Angus. Now, here's this tea. Out of the way for a minute, boys.
Get a cup of tea now.
Well, it's a little on the small side.
Mademoiselle Dubois can dance upon a postage stamp.
Can she now?
Definitely. And the main thing is the illumination.
One lighting spot to follow, but not at all bright. A soft red in colour.
So she is a shadow on the stage. Her body barely glimpsed behind the veils. Silver.
Shimmering.
Where does the exotic bit come in?
What are you doing here?
Door was open, ma'am.
I've been sent on a message.
Who by?
By whom? Chief Constable Craddock and the Lieutenant want to see you at the station.
Your superiors can come here if they're all that desperate.
I'd give money to see that.
You've been gay busy, Jean.
And these folk I don't immediately know would be,
Logan Hamilton, Miss Dubois' manager, and Louisa Jones, her accompanist. That object over there is James McCleavy, and this one's Constable Mulholland.
My pleasure entirely.
Where's the bear?
He went for a walk.
That's nice. I could not help but remark, sir, a slight disclosure of Edinburgh to your speech.
I used to reside here.
In Leith.
Is this man a suspect?
No, not at all. The inspector is just nosy.
Sadly, sir, we have much to accomplish in little time.
I'm exactly the same.
Let us not detain you, then.
Come along, Mulholland. Don't just stand there.
That's me, right enough.
Where's Mademoiselle Dubois, by the way?
She's resting.
You see, my lieutenant and chief constable are in a fair old fangle over this fandango.
Buzzing fit to burst.
But what exactly does exotic mean?
Mademoiselle Dubois offers the watcher a fleeting glimpse into the secret power of the female body.
That which you cannot possess, you desire all the more.
You know the feeling, McCleavy?
Why the seventh veil?
That is the last secret.
What happens when it falls?
You'd have to be there.
And you're not invited. Goodbye.
I'll pass on your response to the authorities. That's me. Just a glorified messenger boy. Well, what do you think?
Something on their mind.
Hamilton. Smooth as silk, eh?
I switched the subject quick enough, about where he came from.
I noticed.
Name ring a bell?
Not so far.
Jean couldn't get rid of us fast enough.
She's up to something. We'll keep a close eye on the Just Land for a wee while. A very close eye.
My God, you can't hear that, surely. Hardly enough to feed a moth.
Huh? Fraser!
What the hell are you doing here?
I got lost.
You're a liar.
You have no doubt bribed someone in the hotel to let you into this room.
The door was open.
Liar. You little creep.
It's my job.
To invade our privacy?
Just now and again.
Your good fortune, Mr. Fraser, that Mademoiselle must have left to explore the city. Otherwise she would have stuck you with a knife.
Justifiably.
I just wanted a wee gab.
Get out. If you print one word of what you've seen here...
You're in jail for trespass.
Oh, wait a minute.
Did you steal anything?
Didn't have time enough.
How long have you been in your profession, Mr. Fraser?
Just a wee while. I want to make a name for myself.
This is not the way.
Well, you keep me in mind, then.
You've got a nerve.
If there is something I wish you to know, Mr. Fraser, then I shall inform you.
Now get going, before Mademoiselle comes back.
Aye. Right. Smells nice, our room. French.
Check he's not listening.
Gone. Would she have stuck him?
Oh, who knows? But Mr. Fraser is untrustworthy, unprincipled, and very ambitious. A perfect conduit.
There. That's your surety signed.
Thank you. Mr. Gilmore here will act witness.
Aye. I can write well enough.
Can I have my money now, please? I brought a wee case special.
Here you are. £1,000.
I won't count. I trust you.
You will deliver to me, Hewitt Butler, the sum plus interest.
Exorbitant, some might say.
Day after the performance, I have dated it so. If not paid, then I foreclose on the just land.
That's the terms.
Here it is, sir. My name upon it.
So, into the safe. And that is you, Mistress Brash, in my hands.
What is it you said? Squeeze the rich and crush the poor. You must be sorely lacking in friends.
Money has no mercy.
Well, if that is so, I better pop mine in the case and take the road, gentlemen. I can still leave you that ticket, Mr. Butler. However, you'll have to cough up. Business is business.
I shall accept your kind invitation.
You are to Butler to be paid for. Goodbye.
You have men ready on the night?
I will, sir. Be a nice big blaze.
And all the hopes of Dean Brash go up in smoke. Has John Craigie paid his dues?
Not at all.
Then as Mistress Brash remarked, business is business.
There she is now.
I can see that.
What's she doing with you at Buckler?
His office, right enough.
All right, Angus, on we go.
Oh, my toe's killing me.
All that chasing through the streets after her carriage. No wonder.
Thank God it wasn't too far from the just land. Ouch!
You're the one put us on watch there.
I need to rub it in. So, that miserable swine, Buckler. What does she want with him?
A logical answer would be to borrow money.
She's aye been comfortable.
Well, you never can tell.
True enough. I've been after Buckler for years, but I've never managed to nail him down.
Was there not a rumour that he had killed a man who ran out on a big debt?
Aye. Choked him to death, they say. But we never found the body.
Are you certain this is a good idea, Chief Constable?
We will face this woman with the might and majesty of law and church.
I have had some small acquaintance with Jean Brash, and I'm not sure she respects the law to any noticeable degree.
Then she must stand before God. You surely have confidence in God?
Oh, yes, of course. It's just humanity about which I harbour reservations.
Gentlemen. Huh? What are you doing here?
We wish to talk, Mistress Brash.
Well, you better get a move on. I am a busy woman.
Jean! Thought I heard your voice. Quick, Mademoiselle Dubois is waiting.
Right, on my way. You two can come or go. Your choice.
That is our duty to follow.
Yes. Duty calls.
No, young woman. Not there with the spring. One must have taste always in all professions. Yes, better.
Mademoiselle, may I present Mistress Brash?
Ah, the famous Jean Brash. Enchanté.
Likewise, I'm sure. You've had the curtains drawn.
Too much light offends my eyes.
Mademoiselle Dubois very much approves of what has been accomplished, Jean.
Are these men your bodyguards?
Policemen.
I am Chief Constable Craddock, and this is my lieutenant, Robert Roach.
Roach? That is an insect.
Why are you here, sirs?
We have come to insist that this performance does not go ahead.
Pourquoi?
I am afraid it goes against the morals of our parish.
What about the men who watch?
I beg your pardon?
Are they in your parish? They pay a great deal of money for tickets to watch. And if they are here, I will dance for them. For I will dance anyway. The seventh veil.
That is
a disgrace.
Chief Constable, you are the little boy who peeks through a window then runs to tell everyone what a terrible thing he has seen. But no one asked him to look through in the first place.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
I will not forget this.
I should hope that is so. Wisdom is hard to come by.
Goodbye.
I shall also take my leave.
Oh, Mr. Roach, is it always so cold in this city?
It is.
I have had to wear a coat of fur, a hat, a veil, and still I freeze.
Then leave for warmer climes.
I apologize, mademoiselle.
No matter. The props are in place, so please, clear the stage, girls.
You want me to play, mademoiselle?
No, it's just a rough passage. Out of the way, young women, you're like birds under the feet.
The girls are disappointed the handsome Mr. Hamilton is not on hand.
Well, you may tell them he has stayed behind to guard the hotel room. We had an intruder.
Oh, it's a wicked world.
You were warned, John Craigie. You fought it on the dead. Take your scraps and get out of here.
Where can we go, sir?
Your man drank all the money. He can find a place. Now, on your way.
What the hell's going on here?
Lawful eviction, McCleavy. Padlock the door, boys.
Leave my child be!
Then get your skinny bones out of here.
Just a minute, Gilmore. One hint of violence. I'll fell you where you stand.
Easy, sir.
My employee is engaged in legalized pursuit, Inspector. As you should be yourself.
Buckler, I have known you'd be here like a vulture.
I am merely a witness.
Mulholland, give this money to the wife. No much, but it might help.
I'll add some to go with.
A witness, eh? You mean to stand there and gloat?
There can be righteous enjoyment in the operation of contract.
You charge these poor buggers interest they can never settle.
Finished now, sir.
Then let us be on our way, Jed.
I did your bidding, Inspector.
You're scum, you at Buckler. One day I'll bring you down.
I very much doubt it.
You go to hell.
No, come away, sir. You don't want to be soiling your hands on the likes of this.
I'll have my time, Buckler.
Not while I stand behind the law. The law you were bound to serve, Inspector.
Uh-huh.
Mistress, I found your man. Like you said, waiting in the tavern.
The Rusty Nail?
Like you said. I brought him home as commandant. No much of a specimen.
Where is he now?
By the kitchen fire.
Tell him I'll be down directly.
And I'll be counting the cellar as well.
Oh, Tommy Caskey's a better class of criminal than that, Angus. Well, Jean Brash, no turning back now.
Ewart Butler, eh? What a piece of scum. Just as well Mulholland got in the way, I might have lost my temper. Well, I did lose my temper. But he saved me from myself, without permission. Oh, my big toe's giving me chip. That slimy parasite Buckler. He shoves the law I am bound to uphold into my face, and I cannot lay a finger on him. Too many things going on I cannot bring to heel. I have a bad feeling about Jean, as if she's calling down some evil fate upon herself. I mean, what's going on between her and Logan Hamilton? Are they bedmates? Surely she has not got over me that quick. And what of Celine Dubois? The seventh veil. Ashamed to miss it in motion. I will. I'm not invited, am I? Meantime, I'll stick my foot up on a cushion. Peaceful out there, but it will not last. Not if I have my way.
I called you to the hotel, Mr. Fraser, to put a proposition before you.
I'm your man.
How clever are you with a camera?
Oh, it's my hobby. I take photographs of my pouty with a wee terrier.
How would you like to attend the dance?
I'll give my right hand.
Well, here are the rules, Mr. Fraser. You attend. You're allowed to watch at the site, but you do not take the photograph until Miss Jones gives the signal.
Can I write it on the paper?
More than that.
More?
Much more. A story to make your name.
So, what is your opinion, Lieutenant?
I regret, Chief Constable, that I must decline your invitation.
It is your bounden duty.
My duty is to administer the law, not stand in front of a body who's waving a placard.
You refuse?
It is not sensible.
A gathering of concerned citizens.
How many have you gathered?
You're the first.
And the last, I would advise.
You are denying your Chief Constable.
Yes.
I will not forget this.
I'm sure that is so.
Goodbye, Lieutenant. What are you doing out here, McClivy?
I'm just passing by.
Out of my way.
What? Why are you two outside my door?
Like the inspector says, sir. Passing by.
Get back to the streets where you belong.
If I hadn't heard, I wouldn't have believed.
Did you see Craddock's face?
Like a scalped backside. Wait! Is that not Jean Brash's carriage?
Right enough.
Angus! Hold your horses!
Where are you going?
A visit from the uninvited.
Oh, you're on your own there.
Jean Brash! Peekaboo!
And how are you, Inspector?
Oh, I'm tolerable.
Mistress Brash is at the Justland preparing for the fray. She sent the carriage for Mademoiselle Celine and myself.
Oh, aye. Right enough.
How do you do, sir?
Not too bad, considering. You're Celine Dubois.
And you, the celebrated James McClivy?
Aye, right enough. Are you in mourning?
I am wrapped to keep away from the cold.
Aye, right enough. Nippy.
Nippy?
And we must be on our way.
Uh-huh. I haven't got an invite.
For what?
The seventh veil.
But perhaps, monsieur, you may peek through the window. Au revoir.
Ah, uh-huh. Fair enough.
Move it on, Angus.
You took your time.
That was Celine Dubois in there.
What was she like?
Mysterious.
Go straight through, gentlemen. Ah, Mr. Buckler. Now the evening is complete.
Happy to be of service.
I have reserved you a special seat, and there's champagne being served.
Money no object, eh?
Perfect. Bales of hay stowed there. Light up like a tinderbox.
Wait for the dance to start, eh?
And then it's bonfire night, boys.
Mr. Buckler, would you like to meet Mademoiselle Dubois in person?
Are you trying to keep on my good side, Jean Brash?
Suit yourself.
Where is she?
Through this side door. Follow on. Nice and cosy, don't you think?
I can't see a thing.
No, it's just along here.
Oh, yeah.
In here!
Oh! Sweet dreams, Mr. Buckler.
What's this?
A small knife, but a keen blade. Move, and I'll cut your throat.
Chloroform, my friend. American invention.
But get him on the chair. I can manage from there.
Well, you won't have much time.
I have enough. Go.
Right, that's it. Pile them up. One Lucifer, it will be like hellfire.
Can he wait?
Neither can I.
I'm with him.
McClivy? What in buggery are you doing here?
Just passing by.
Louisa, how did it go?
I left him to it.
Your friend Mr. Fraser's arrived.
He'll do what he's told.
I hope so.
Just keep pouring out the champagne.
That's the easy bit.
I can't see.
A blindfold, sir. You are also tied to the chair, so all in all, I suppose one might say, at my mercy.
I warn you, if I'm injured in any way...
No one will give a damn.
Who are you?
Does the name Mary Hamilton mean anything to you?
No, not at all.
Why should it? One more body on the road.
You don't make sense.
My mother, Mary Hamilton. My father died. She borrowed money to keep us alive.
I don't remember.
One of many. She could not pay back, begged you for mercy. You laughed, turned us out. That night she died. Walked in front of a carriage, trampled to death.
That was not my doing.
Blinded by anguish, and when I looked down at her, I heard laughter in the darkness.
Not my doing.
Oh, you killed her as surely as if you had pulled the trigger of a gun. I am her son, and I have come for vengeance.
You stood on my toe.
It was an accident.
Slip of the knuckles. There. That's the restrainers. How are you doing, Mulholland?
They all move a muscle.
Muffle them up.
Your servant, I.
Jed Gilmore, I have to inform you that arson is a serious crime.
No, my fault.
Who then?
Can he say?
You better, or I'll break every bone in your body.
I can't let you do that, sir.
Then go a walk and find a bucket for the blood.
All right. I wash my hands of it.
No, don't go.
Then spit it out.
For your own sake, Mr. Gilmore.
It's Buckler. Buckler, it was his notion.
Get a move on, I have an appointment.
He'll kill me.
Fetch the bucket.
No. See, it was Jean Brash. She borrowed money, big money, and she had to pay it back.
The profits from tonight,
eh? But if there was a fire, Abdi would run for their life.
No performance, no profit.
Mr. Buckler said so. She'd be ruined, he said. He'd get the surety.
Which is what?
The just land.
High stakes, eh?
And a witness confession, Jed, for which many thanks. You can write it up at the station. And there's also a small matter of a long-ago murder.
I know nothing about it.
Oh, I'm sure memory will come flooding back. Meantime, you can chew on this big hanky of mine. On our way, Mulholland. Oh, don't worry, Jed. We'll be back. And you'll have all the time in the world.
Remind me again what we're doing.
I saw a wee window in the main room. No curtains, well above head height. This garden wall now, if you got to the top with a spyglass, you can see right through that window. Yeah. Give me a leg up.
Here. Are we not just peeping toms?
Interested observers.
How do I get up?
Scramble the vine. Don't scuffle too much. You'll upset my equilibrium.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, what you are about to witness you will never forget. An artiste at the height of her powers. Are you ready, Miss Jones?
I am.
I have the honour to introduce Mademoiselle Céline Dubois, who will perform the dance of the seventh veil.
Céline Dubois appeared onto the stage, wreathed in layers of gauze and silk, like some exquisite butterfly, with just one light following her like a faithful lover. Her movements had grace and beauty, the like of which I have never witnessed. And even through the spyglass, I could sense the powerful, alluring seduction, like a Lorelei beckoning sailors to their doom. One by one, the glittering layers fell to the floor, her body white, supple, but only glimpsed, as if in a dream. I kicked aside at Mulholland, and his mouth was open like a cow in clover. When I looked back to the stage, only the last veil remained, her arms bare outside the gauze, oiled, sinuous, hands reached up, slender long fingers towards the crown of the last lucent material that concealed her face and body. The world stood still, waiting, with held breath, for that final movement. And then...
The light's gone out.
I can see that.
What the hell's going on? What,
on the stage, something moving.
What?
Not decipherable.
That's a dirty trick. You can't trust the French worth a damn.
Wait!
The light came on again, and there in the middle of the stage was a strange, humpy figure on a chair, covered in its entirety by the seventh veil. Then Louisa Jones stepped forwards and pulled the covering away. For a moment, There was silence. And then a sound began to build. Laughter, low, then louder. The magpies who gathered at the back started howling like banshees. The men roared. There, in all his glory, stripped bare buff to his drawers, a green apple wedged tight in his mouth, hair sticking up an end, sweat running down his face, was none other than...
Yurt Buckler!
Hallelujah!
Look, someone's taken a photograph. This warrants investigation, sir.
I'm with you.
Hup. What's the matter now?
I landed on my big toe! Come on!
I got the photo, Mrs. Brash. It'll look nice in the paper.
Back to your office and wait there all night if need be until you receive a certain delivery from me.
Miss Jones, tell me, what kind of delivery?
The kind you can publish. Now, on your way.
I'm your man.
Jean Brash, is this what you're up to?
I know nothing about it.
Better dislodge that apple.
Do so, then arrest him.
What for?
He had a wee plan to fire the outbuildings and ruin your evening.
The sleeket swine.
Not as sleeket as you are, Jean. Where are your confederates?
I'm sure I don't know what you mean, but they seem to have vanished into thin air.
All according to plan.
Let's hope Tommy Caskey fulfills his part.
Well, according to Jean, he cracks a safe like you and I a walnut. Kind of her to arrange all this.
A carriage all the way to London, and she even packed a sandwich.
Oh, what is it?
Cheese and pickle?
Brie?
Cheddar, I believe.
Ah, give it over. I'm starving. London, ship to France, home to Paris.
Yeah. Home for you.
Where I found myself.
And her? Celine Dubois.
Yes, her also.
How do you feel?
Oh, cleansed.
May it last forever. And we are well rewarded. Jean paid generously for the performance.
Good. I can take you to my bed, my heart, and even my bank balance.
What about Mademoiselle Celine Dubois?
Moi? I shall be jealous, of course. But I have my craft to console.
Oh, don't. When you become her like that, it gives me the shivers.
And two for the price of one, my dear. Shall we seal the pact with a kiss?
Oh, you still have her makeup on. Oh,
close your eyes, then.
Well, Mr. Buckler, it's a comfy wee cell. I trust you slept like a top.
You have no right to keep me here.
I have every right. Jed Gilmore has just written and signed a confession about your incendiary intentions.
Allegations, nothing more?
Not only that. In order to alleviate his sentence for attempted arson, plus a wee bit of persuasion from my good self, he has also confessed to witnessing a murder.
Murder?
A man who owed you a deal of money and welched on the debt. Oliver Grant. Killed him with your bare hands. Strangled. Dropped off at sea.
You have no proof. Jed's word against mine. No proof about anything.
Other gang members were there. We'll catch up with them. And as regards proof... The Leith Herald. You're in the headlines, Mr. Buckler. Here. I hope you find the read both instructive and edifying, but basically, you're nailed to the wall.
That's not possible.
On the other side of the law now, and I'll bring it down like the hand of God. Cheerio for now.
No. No, 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 no.
That's not possible.
Not a very flattering photograph.
A few of us could survive being stripped to our drawers, sir.
I take it, Inspector, that you have dispatched men to the Leith Herald.
I have indeed.
Where, mysteriously enough, the contents of Buckler's safe that recorded all nefarious and crooked dealings...
ended up delivered to Cammy Fraser.
And thence to be proclaimed all over the paper.
So we have him for incited arson, and once we get a good look at the records, fencing stolen goods, a wee bit of blackmail, and with some luck,
witnessed murder.
Couldn't happen to a nicer fella.
And what about the perpetrators to all this?
Mademoiselle Celine has vanished from the city. But I have just now received a note at the desk that might help solve the mystery. Hmm? Be in touch later.
You want me with you?
You wait for the contents of the safe. All will be revealed, gentlemen. All will be revealed.
You mean she was a man?
Logan Hamilton, no less.
No wonder they never dropped the seventh veil. Damn cheek.
I thought I owed it you. After all, you saved me from that fire.
You could have lost everything, Jean.
I am well aware. I like it up here. The sea is never the same.
Why did you do it?
I hate folk like you, Art Buckler.
More than that, surely.
Logan's mother, Mary Hamilton, was kind to me when I was young. On the streets and lost for kindness. She fell into debt with Buckler, bad debt.
Mary Hamilton. Ah, now it comes back. Died under a carriage.
Suicide. Logan left here many years ago. He wrote to me recent.
How did he become Celine Dubois?
Who knows what happens in Paris? But I'll tell you one thing. He doesn't come up short in bed.
How would you know?
Louisa told me.
Ah, this sort of stuff is beyond the pale. Give me murder any day. So, you concocted this wee nest of vipers.
That we did.
Chancy.
I like taking chances.
And I assume the contents of Butler's safe were magically transported.
Tommy Caskey.
I thought he'd retired.
Owed me a favour.
I take it the contract you signed with Buckler has disappeared from sight.
Definitely. We all came out of it very well.
Except Mr. Buckler.
I hate his kind.
Oh, we may agree on that. But you could have lost everything, Jean.
That was the thrill.
Turned my heel and left her there. No point talking to a woman when her mind is shut like a coal bunker. She didn't even ask how my big toe was faring. Not too bad, in fact, as long as I don't go chasing carriages and kicking criminals. Oh. I'm glad when I saw that dance. I didn't know Mademoiselle Celine was no such thing. That would have spoilt it rotten. It was beautiful. Something from another world. Aye, well, I have to live in this one. Corrupt as hell. Ewart Buckler is heading for a long, long visit to the Perth Penitentiary. But there's a wildness to Jean Brash, and it's getting worse. I worry. If not contained, she may spin right off the planet. And I have taken some beginning steps that may help resolve the situation. I am James McCleavy, Inspector of Police. I wonder what the world would be like if I left it alone. I wonder if it would notice. And I wonder most of all what it would be like if eternity dropped the seventh veil.
In McCleavy by David Ashton. McCleavy was played by Brian Cox. Jean Brash by Siobhan Redmond. Mulholland, Michael Percival Maxwell. Roach, David Ashton. Logan and Celine Dubois, Derek Riddell. Craddock, David Robb. Ewart Buckler, Hugh Ross. Louisa, Teresa Gallagher. Jed Gilmore, Brian Ferguson, and Cammy Fraser by Matt McClure. Other parts were played by the cast. McCleavy was a BBC Scotland production, directed by Bruce Young.
Next week, McCleavy's schemes to keep Jean Brash in check include the reappearance of an old acquaintance. And you might like to know that the first four series of McCleavy are available to buy as a CD or a download. After the news, Jay Rayner hosts the culinary panel show The Kitchen Cabinet from Stonehenge.
BBC News at 3 o'clock. Labour have accused the government of relying on old-style large-scale borrowing after figures showing it's almost reached its target for the year within four months to go. The total of nearly £67 billion since April is lower than over the same period last year, but there was a sharp rise in November due to one-off factors. The Treasury insists its policies are working. The chairman of the Office for Budget Responsibility, Robert Choate, says he isn't surprised or alarmed by the figures.
There are policy measures, for example, that have been announced in the past that are likely to boost self-assessment income tax receipts, and those come in January and February. There are some government spending cuts that were announced back in June that have not yet shown up in the numbers. So we think there are a variety of reasons to think that the fall in the deficit is going to be faster over the remainder of the year than it has been to date.
1 million migrants have now arrived in 6 European countries by land and sea this year. The International Organisation for Migration says that's 4 times the total for 2014. The vast majority arrived in Greece by sea. Fierce fighting is continuing in southern Afghanistan, where government troops are trying to prevent the Taliban capturing a strategically important area of Helmand province. The UK has sent military advisers to Sangin, but say they won't be involved in combat. Iraqi security forces say they've entered the centre of Ramadi, which has been controlled by the jihadist group Islamic State, since May. They'd launched a fresh offensive to recapture the city last night. A judge at Westminster Magistrates Court has ruled that 5 men accused of involvement in the Rwanda genocide in 1994 should not be extradited. They were arrested in 2013 following a request from the Rwandan government. Unions have welcomed the announcement that a possible buyer has been found for the division of Tata Steel that includes its Scunthorpe plant. The negotiations with the investment firm Greybull Capital also cover mills in Teesside and near Glasgow. BBC News.
In half an hour, Georgie Fame will be answering audience questions about his album Rhythm and Blues at the Flamingo. That's in Master Tapes at 3:30 here on Radio 4. But first, it's time for the return of our culinary panel programme. Here's your host, Jay Rayner.
Hello and welcome to a new series of The Kitchen Cabinet, a culinary talking shop, which this week has arrived at the most mysterious of winter gathering places, where the panel will take your questions on the rituals of food and drink, offering up folklore science, and some chanting if they get desperate. Yes, today we're at that great Neolithic monument, Stonehenge in Wiltshire, and with me, your panel, ready with answers to your cooking and eating questions, are a man who'd been in his element out there, stood among the stones, flashing the fire and knives, it's DIY cook Tim Hayward. A cook and broadcaster and master of the time-honoured ceremonies of eating and drinking, it's Andy Oliver. A Celtic cook with a Catalonian twang to her recipes, it's Reggie McCormack. And a woman who can usually be found feasting in the archives, it's our resident food historian, Dr. Annie Gray. Ladies and gentlemen, your panel.